briefed on the secret, life inside the administration of grace, joy, a brief survey of Ephesians truth, by Steve Martin. Most Christians talk about God's plan the way people talk about the weather, something vague, unpredictable, and always changing. But Paul doesn't describe God as merely having a plan. He describes God as running an administration. That word matters. An administration isn't a religious mood. It's an ordered operation. It has a leader. It has a stated purpose. It has appointed representatives. And it moves forward because the one in charge is actually governing. That's what we are part of right now, the administration of grace, joy. And to make the idea concrete, let's borrow a simple picture. Think of a presidential administration. There's a president. There's a chief of staff. There's a cabinet. There are appointed roles. There's an agenda that is going somewhere. Now elevate that thought without cheapening it, and you start to see what Paul is revealing in Ephesians. God is not asking humanity to cooperate in order to make things work. God is operating. God is administering. God is carrying out what he planned before the disruption ever arrived. Our leader is Jesus. Paul is the chief of staff. If you want the administration analogy, don't stop halfway. The administrator is God the Father. Our leader is Jesus Christ. Paul is the appointed steward and spokesperson of this present administration, tasked with making known what was previously hidden. And we are not spectators. We are not religious volunteers. We are included members of the operation, part of the cabinet, so to speak, representing the will and work of the head. That doesn't puff you up. It steadies you, because when you realize you're part of an administration, you stop living like the whole thing depends on your performance. Every spiritual blessing means every spiritual blessing. Paul begins with a sentence that is either true or it isn't. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the super heavens, in Christ. Not most, not eventually, not if you stay faithful enough. Every spiritual blessing. That single phrase destroys the religion of not enough. Religion keeps believers circling the same drain. More guilt, more rededication, more spiritual maintenance. But grace begins with a grant, an allotment, an accomplished reality. And where is that blessing located? In the super heavens. That's not poetic language for, I feel close to God sometimes. That's placement. That's sphere. That's calling. Most of Christianity drags everything down to earth, because they cannot imagine a calling that isn't about fixing society, or taking territory, or redeeming culture. But Paul places this calling in a realm above the earth, because this administration is super heavenly in nature. And it all hinges on one phrase, in Christ. That is not a slogan. It is a location. The blessings are not floating around waiting for you to qualify. They are yours because you are in him. Called out before the disruption of the world. Then Paul goes back farther than anyone's testimony. We were chosen in him before sin entered the world. This means that your inclusion in this administration is not God's reaction to your improved behavior. You were not recruited when you finally started acting religious. You were called out before the world was disrupted by sin. Why? To be holy and flawless in his sight. Notice, in his sight. Religion trains you to stare at yourself. Grace trains you to see what God sees, because he sees you in Christ. A believer can still miss in daily experience, but their standing is not built on experience. Their standing is built on Christ's finished work and God's prior choice. Sun placing, not a compliment, a position. Then comes one of the most personal lines in the opening. He designates us beforehand for sonship. Sonship is not God saying something nice about you. It is sun placing. Being put into an appointed position with rights, standing, and privilege. And Paul adds the part that religion never knows how to handle. He was delighted to do so. You need to let that land. God did not reluctantly accept you. God was not talked into loving you. God did not sigh and say, fine, I guess. He delighted. And yes, this is where grace means joy belongs, because grace is not cold policy. Grace is warmth. Grace is God joyfully doing what he planned to do. He joyizes us, not because we impressed him, but because he wanted to. Deliverance and justification, you have them. Paul does not speak in religious maybe language. In him, we have deliverance. Not we might, not we hope. We have it. Deliverance means release, liberation. That's not a feeling. That's a transaction. That's a change of status. And tied to that deliverance is what we keep emphasizing, justification. Forgiveness still leaves a person guilty but excused. Justification declares a person righteous in standing. The administration of grace, joy, does not leave believers on probation. He made known to you the secret of his will. Administrations have an agenda, and the people in the operation are briefed. Paul says that God makes known to us the secret of his will. And again, Paul adds that word, delight. God wasn't reluctant to reveal this. He wasn't hiding it to test your sincerity. He delighted to disclose it, because this secret gives you stability. And what is the disclosed agenda? The goal, head up, all in Christ. Here is the summit statement, an administration of the complement of the eras, to head up all in the Christ, both that in the heavens and that on the earth. This is not God trying to rescue a few souls before he gives up and burns the rest. That storyline is beneath the God whom Paul reveals. The revealed goal is the universal heading up in Christ, everything brought into Christ's headship, both celestial and terrestrial. And here's where the personal calling hits with force. We were chosen to be part of this administration. We were made for this position. For his delight in us, he made us a part of it. In other words, you weren't saved just to go to heaven. You were placed into a role inside of what God is doing. Cabinet members don't create the agenda. They promote it. This is where the cabinet picture helps. In any administration, cabinet members don't freelance. They don't rewrite the platform. They don't run a competing message down the hallway. They represent the leader and promote the agenda in their assigned sphere. That's exactly what we are doing in the administration of grace. We are not here to invent our own spiritual program or market our own version of Christianity. We are here to advance the declared agenda of our leader, to speak what he is accomplishing, to make known what he has disclosed, and to announce the stated end, to head up all in him, both in the heavens and on the earth. We don't negotiate this agenda, and we don't edit it to fit popular religion. We steward it. We embody it. We make it known, with the calm confidence that the outcome is guaranteed, because the one in charge is operating all in accord with the counsel of his will. Realization, seeing what's already true. Paul doesn't just want believers to possess facts. He prays for realization, for eyes opened, for understanding that becomes lived stability. Because you can be seated in the super heavens and still live like you're begging for scraps. Realization is God giving you the ability to see your place. Representation. We complete him and he completes us. And then comes one of Paul's boldest lines. The one body of the secret administration is his complement. This doesn't mean that Christ is weak. It means that God has chosen to express the head through a body. The administration functions through representation. We represent Christ. He fills us. We express him. The operating principle, God works everything by his will. And the best part is this. God is operating everything in accord with the counsel of his will. That sentence is a wrecking ball to anxiety. If God is operating everything according to his will, then the success of the administration does not depend on human effort holding it together. And yes, faith matters, but even that is framed as God's gift. We believe because God gives faith within his operation, so that we participate knowingly in what he is already administering. The point. Here's the difference that readers should not miss. We are not part of a generic Christian life program. We are part of a distinct administration. Our calling is super heavenly. Our blessings are already granted. Our sonship is already designated. Our standing is already holy and flawless in his sight. Our deliverance is already possessed. The secret has already been disclosed, the goal is already declared, and the operation is already being carried out by the will and power of God. So no, this isn't a message that says, try harder. This is the message that says, embrace your place. You're already in the administration.